Welcome to Now Playing. I am Arnie.
And I'm Marjorie.
And tonight we're going to be talking about Hostel 2, Electric Boogaloo.
There's no boogaloo in this one.
Well, there was some boogalooing at the Harvest Festival.
I believe that was folk dancing. Far cry from the Electric Boogaloo.
Just a warning, if you haven't seen this movie, we're not going to reveal everything, but it's hard to talk about this film without getting into some pretty deep spoilers, so.
And if you're squeamish, I'll just start off right at the bat and tell you, in discussing this movie, because this movie is not for the squeamish or faint at heart, you may need to fast forward. We won't get into graphic detail, however, just a warning if even the thought of it makes you sick.
We may get into a little bit of graphic detail because there's one thing that we just have to debate. So if you are squeamish at the thought of dismemberment, just listen to our next episode. We're going to discuss a nice lighthearted romantic comedy or something.
Not this movie again. I love this movie. I thought it was good. It wasn't as good as the first, but it was a very good movie.
Hostel 2 starts off picking up directly where Hostel 1 left off, because there was one survivor from Hostel 1.
Yes. Jay Hernandez's character did survive, and we last saw him on the train, passed out, missing fingers after he'd killed the guy in the restroom at the train station.
And we follow that character through to discover what happens to him afterwards. And I won't spoil that, but if you've seen Friday the 13th Part 2, it's a very similar setup. And then after we finish with Jay Hernandez, we don't see him again for the rest of the movie.
Just his head.
And we move on to a story, much like horror sequels in the 80s, it's the same story with a whole new group of victims.
Well, they did change location in this movie.
Yes, it's shown at the beginning. Due to Jay Hernandez's escape, they move from Bratislava to Slovakia.
And this one, instead of having three boys, it is three women.
Always better.
These three women are studying in Italy and studying art. And it seems that they know each other ahead of time.
They're classmates.
Yeah, they're classmates. I couldn't really tell the extent of their relationship. They didn't spend a lot of time on it.
Two of them appear to be good friends, and one of them's kind of an acquaintance who they don't necessarily like. And those three girls, so we can refer to them, are Beth, played by Lauren German.
Whitney, who is Bijou Phillips.
Those two are the friends. And then the one who's just kind of a hanger-on that they don't really like is Lorna, played by Heather Matarazzo.
She was in Welcome to the Dollhouse, which was a good indie film from the 90s.
So the three of them decide to spend a weekend
at the spas in Slovakia. Actually, they were going to Prague first, but they met this woman who... It was alluded to that Beth was a lesbian, but it never really came out and said it.
I don't think that she was a lesbian, but I think that it was definitely said that this woman, who is Axel, played by...
some foreign girl.
I'm going to try the name. Vera Jordanova is a lesbian, and that Beth is kind of playing with the idea. Beth may be a little bi-curious.
Yeah, it's not really said, but it's hinted at.
It's very much alluded to. I mean, there's a kissing scene where they don't kiss each other, but Axel is kissing Beth's shoulders and back. And so you'd think that Beth is toying with the idea going there. And that would have been a much more fun movie.
You just don't like the end of the movie, which we will get to at the end of the podcast.
So the three of them go to Slovakia thinking they're going to a day spa.
Yeah, because all the best spas are located in Slovakia. Now, this movie has a typical about 45 minutes or so setup that the first one did, which you were very bored.
I felt that the setup was way too long because they spent a whole lot of time getting there. There's some encounters with people on the train ride there that never pay off. They have no importance other than they spend 15 minutes deciding to go to the spa. Well, if they don't go to the spa, there's no movie. So I kind of felt that could have been sped up.
But a lot of these are red herrings and setups for what happens later. Like when Lorna's iPod is stolen by the guy who breaks into their cabin, that's set up because Axel is the one who brings back the iPod because that guy was on this death club. And the foreign guys who they're going to go do some drugs with, again, red herrings kind of makes you think, oh, this is them. They're going to get them high and then take them off and kill them or whatever. I think there's a lot of setup on there just to get you in suspense.
Well, for those who haven't seen Hostel 1, the plot's very similar. They're actually being taken to a place where they're going to be killed. And it's a club.
It's like a murder club.
Where you pay for the pleasure of killing a human. It's kind of like a hunter's club.
A different kind, yes. No, you get to bid on these captured people.
It's kind of like E-Kill.
E-Kill. It shows all these different businessmen bidding furiously on their Blackberries and Trios to try to win Beth, Whitney, or Lorna to try to murder them.
There's no buy it now option.
No, there's not.
Or kill it now option?
No, there's not a kill it now option.
And that's where the movie differs from the first one, is in the first one, you have the three backpackers in Bratislava kidnapped, but you don't know where they're being taken and why. Because this is a sequel, you already know they're being taken to a place where people are paying to kill them. So in this one, we learn the stories of two of the rich Americans who are paying to kill other Americans. Americans bring the highest dollar to kill. I guess you could, anyone could go kill a Cuban.
I don't know. It just, Americans do bring the top dollar. It looks like they went for $70,000 or $80,000 too.
And these two are Todd, played by Richard Burgee, and Stuart, played by Roger Bart, who Desperate Housewives fans will know as the evil pharmacist.
Pharmacists are evil.
And Todd is all into it. He's the one who buys Beth as a gift for Stuart. Stuart will get to kill Beth on Todd's dime.
Stuart is bullied by his wife. We get that little kind of impression from the brief scene we see of his family and his interactions with Beth and Todd.
And when they go to get the bloodhound tattoo that all members of the club must have, he's like, how will I explain it to my wife? She'll get upset that I have a tattoo.
Yeah, he was a total pussy.
Yeah, pretty much.
He really was. And he was kind of afraid it would hurt.
And you could kind of tell he didn't want to kill someone. Todd was all gung-ho. Let's kill him. Let's kill him. We're going to be a man after this. And talking about how he knew a guy in high school who lost his virginity. And when he came back from the summer, everybody could just feel it was different. And he didn't have to know that he wasn't a virgin anymore. You could just see it. And it's going to be like that with killing someone. You're not going to need to know. You're just going to feel that these people are different. These people could take a life.
Stuart is still kind of eh, and they end up going to the Harvest Festival, which looks like a big setup for the girls to disappear. And Stuart ends up actually talking to Beth by accident, and he didn't mean to.
But he wanted to get a close look at his prey.
He wanted to see her. And now the Harvest Festival is also where Lorna disappears. Lorna, who is not very attractive, goes off with a guy who's really swooning her and goes to a boat ride. And Beth says, of course, don't get on the boat with him. Don't go. Promise me you're not going to go. She says, oh, sure, I'm not going to go. She goes off on the boat with him in this romantic boat ride. He takes her to this little beach and standing there, he says, close your eyes. She closes her eyes. Bam, she's hooded and they're beating her up and hauling her away.
And she is the first of the three casualties. Now, we don't find out anything about her killer at all.
No.
Her killer is a woman, a very attractive woman.
She's older.
Older, attractive European.
And you see later on how she is killed. And that is, she's, first of all, wheeled in, hanging upside down, chained up.
Naked.
Yes, naked. And
I could tell immediately that it was what it was going to be, because we live near a pig slaughterhouse, and I know that when you cut the neck of an animal,
you have to have them hanging upside down.
You have to have them hanging upside down so all the blood will pour out. And so when she was hanging upside down, I could just tell there was going to be a throat slitting coming on. And she was over a tub, and I thought they were just going to pool all the blood in the tub for whatever reason, but
yeah, I suggest you Google Elizabeth Bathory. She is the person who believed that bathing in the blood of virgins would keep you beautiful. And
it does, you know.
Well.
Look at me.
Yeah. Is that what you do?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Right.
That explains the blood stains on the tile floor in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Don't call the cops.
This woman proceeds to slice her back and her legs and her chest.
It kind of toys with its food, so to speak, although she doesn't eat her.
Yeah.
She comes in and she has a huge sickle and kind of like death. You know, death is always shown with the sickle.
Mm-hmm.
And she lies naked in the tub and then just reaches up and slowly scrapes across Lorna's skin and then cut and cut again and cut again until blood is just pouring from five different places down onto this woman's naked body, from a woman's naked body. It should have been hot, but it really just wasn't.
No.
I mean, it wasn't like an old school horror movie where you just see a cut and then blood. Here you'd see the cut and you'd see the flesh tear and you'd see the meat underneath the flesh tear. That kind of takes the fun out of it. It kind of becomes a medical video. It's a little gross.
You're very squeamish, though.
I am a little squeamish when it comes to this kind of stuff.
And I'm not really squeamish except when it comes to like fingernails and toenails. That's when I get squeamish. And Achilles tendons. I did not like the Achilles tendon slash in Hostel 1. That creeped me out. I know I had this fear about my Achilles tendon.
But that's the fun of these movies, is being horrified.
Oh, yeah.
That's why they're horror movies. So while I was going, every time the woman got cut a little deeper, at the same time, I mean, that's what I paid for.
It's
a horror show.
Well, the movie starts progressing from here, and Beth and Whitney are both kidnapped. Now, we never see Whitney kidnapped.
Well, they're at the spa in the hot tub.
No, they're in the natural springs.
Well, natural springs. It was steaming. It was, I didn't quite know what it was. And Beth falls asleep.
Which is odd.
Well, she was being kissed on by Axel, and when she wakes up, everybody's already gone and kidnapped.
And this is where she also runs into the bubblegum gang from the first movie. The second time they run into them, actually. And we meet Sasha, who is a ringleader of this gun club or hunter club or whatever it is. And Beth thinks she's safe and slowly comes to realize that she is not.
She discovers Sasha's room of decapitated heads.
Well, yeah, everyone has one of those.
Again, that explains the bloodstains in the living room.
And then this movie location changes, and we're at the warehouse, the dirty, disgusting, filthy warehouse dungeon where they're doing the killing, where the club has their headquarters.
And here, when you pay to kill an American, you get only the finest.
Yes.
Every implement you could want. You want to just shoot them, there's a gun. You want a blowtorch, there's a blowtorch. You want some pliers, there's your pliers. Any implement of death that I could imagine was right there. I didn't see the cord that, like, assassins use, but other than that.
No, it wasn't there, was it? Well, you see Stuart and Todd suiting up in their rubber outfits and scrubs.
Kind of like butchers, again.
Yeah, odd outfits. And, you know, the hair all wrapped up and everything so they don't get blood all over their hair.
It's a mixture of butcher outfit and surgeon.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. And we see that Stuart is going to go and murder Beth.
Because Beth has a striking resemblance to his wife. And this is his ultimate revenge, is killing the doppelganger of his wife.
Yes.
Which is so poetic.
And then we see Todd, who has bought Whitney, and she's all in the low-cut, like, little garter outfit. And
Todd apparently has an issue with cheerleaders.
Yeah.
Maybe he got turned down by one too many in high school. We're not sure. It's never told, but he has that issue.
Now, this is where it gets interesting, because previous to this part of the movie, Todd is gung-ho on killing somebody. Stuart is kind of wishy-washy and doesn't seem like he's going to go through with it. And really, you think that he's going to rescue Beth. That's what I kept thinking of the movies. Maybe he's not going to kill her, and he's going to...
And it would be the two of them on the run together.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen. Well, I was wrong.
Yeah, that's not what happens. Todd starts to feel a little remorse. Stuart gets really into it. Whitney bites it with a buzzsaw to the head, which happens in a funny, funny manner.
Yeah, and what happens is Whitney's still alive, but she's in really bad shape, but Todd is unable to go through with it, so they dispose of Todd because you have to kill at the club. You can't leave your victim alive because that leaves a witness.
But Stuart gets really into it. Beth starts playing some mind games. And the Whitney death is not nearly as gory as the Lorna death was.
No. In fact, Lorna was the only gory death that there was.
Oh, no.
Well, he didn't die from that right away.
But the ending will let you experience for yourself. It gets gory. There is mutilation of male genitalia.
Wait a second. I did not think it was gory because it wasn't very graphic. You're just squeamish because you have a penis.
I've never actually seen male genitalia mutilated on film other than There's Something About Mary.
But you really couldn't even tell it was a penis. She had the scissors in that area. And
you could tell.
It looked like
you could
they
tell.
Used the same prop from There's Something About Mary.
Until after it gets cut off.
Well, it's a vague shape. They could have used...
Maybe they used the prop from Reanimator 3, but...
Yes.
Oh, boy. It's hard to watch for a guy. I walked out of there just with... I could barely walk out of there because my legs were crossed so tight.
Yeah.
The movie has some great twists and turns. It's funny if you can appreciate that. If you're the kind of person who can laugh when somebody gets a buzzsaw in their head accidentally, then this is the kind of movie for you.
Well, if you like kind of tongue-in-cheek comedy horror, that's a little smarter than just like Friday the 13th, I think.
It is, by far. And I like the fact that we got inside the killer's heads a lot. And I like that there's some reversal going on. You don't see it coming. It's really an interesting point along that line. But I found the movie to be mostly slow moving. I did not like it as much as the first, because in the first one, you don't know why they're being kidnapped. You don't know what's happening to them. Being a horror movie, you can guess they're going to die, but you don't know why they're being kidnapped or what's going on. you find out as Jay Hernandez finds out. In this movie, you know what it is going in, and so you're kind of like, get to the point already, and when there's all this buildup at the spa and on the train, it moved kind of slow. When it got moving, though, it was very good, and I'd say, in the end, it's almost as good as the first, but just not quite there.
I agree. It is almost as good as the first. It's still a good movie. I don't know if these bear repeated watchings, though. I don't think for you, because you're squeamish, and I don't think you could watch the dismemberment again on this one.
I could.
Just turn your eyes away, because you didn't like the ending one in the first one also, where that girl with her eye coming out of her head.
That was hard. I have a thing with eyes. I didn't like the eye popping out of the head.
Yeah, and then he cut it.
A lot of people are saying this movie shouldn't be rated R, but it should be rated NC-17.
I don't think it's as gory as the first one, and if it was just the penis that people think that was why it needs to be NC-17.
Well, there are actually several instances of male penises as compared to female penises shown on screen. Some in cases of horror, some just are naked penises roaming around. And the question is, let me ask you, would you feel safe with your 9-year-old watching this movie?
I wouldn't let a 9-year-old watch this movie. It's a rated R movie.
Okay. But would you let your 9-year-old watch The Matrix?
Well, I wouldn't watch The Matrix at all, so no.
How about Beverly Hills Cop 1?
No, there's a lot of cussing in that.
But is cussing as harmful for a child as seeing
and
men's...
And drugs and...
There's no drugs in Beverly Hills Cop.
Isn't that what they're after?
No.
Oh.
Money.
Oh.
I guess there is a little cocaine, but nobody uses cocaine. You just see criminals selling cocaine.
And there's a murder scene.
True. But I saw Beverly Hills Cop when I was 9, and I was 5. With it. It didn't bother me at all.
So I started
speaking inappropriately, but I was fine with it.
So you're saying there should be different levels of R?
That's what NC-17 is. R means the parents should decide what the child can see. But if you show up with a parent or a wino you gave $10 to, you're getting into a rated R movie. NC-17 means it doesn't matter who you come with. You could come with the president or the pope and you don't get into this movie. And I don't think 17 might be too high, but I think this should definitely be NC-15.
I don't know. I guess if you compare it to Beverly Hills Cop, but also there wasn't NC-17 back then.
There was X.
But that was for porn.
But...
And is it any different than Saw? In fact, it's not as gory as Saw. I think Saw was incredibly gory compared to this one. In Saw, you had like, what, 5 or 6 really gory deaths.
In Saw, you don't have torturers enjoying torturing. In Saw, there's a morality play going on. And if you fail the morality play, you die a gory death.
So the manner and reason for which someone is killed, is that the deciding factor?
Absolutely. If a person is hit by a car, and the person in the car meant to hit the person, or the person in the car didn't mean to hit the person, there's two different punishments. One's murder, one's manslaughter.
But what you're going to get into is the movie rating system is going to be so confusing. You're going to need a flip chart to figure out what you can take your goddamn kids to.
All right.
If it's Tuesday and the movie has a malicious murder scene and there are more than 3 drops of blood, all right, I can take my kids to
That's pretty much how the movie
rating is
now.
If they're over 15.
You know, you can say fuck once in a PG-13, but if you say fuck twice, you're R.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's how arbitrary it is. So when you're making a PG-13 movie, you decide where that one point you want to put the fucking emphasis is.
Well, I do know that...
We're already rated R this episode.
Yeah. When South Park came out, the movie, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut...
I cannot believe the penis scene in that one either with Saddam Hussein.
That made it. But what they originally wanted to call the movie, the reason they had to change the title of the movie is because originally it's called South Park Goes to Hell. And they said, no, you can't have a movie that says someone goes to hell.
Well, there was Bill and Ted Go to Hell, and they weren't allowed to name it that. It had to be Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Yeah.
Bill and Ted Go to Hell is so much better.
Yeah. Well, now we know that South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut is much better, and they kind of stuck it to the movie ratings board.
Repeatedly.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that movie rating system is flawed.
Horribly. And Jack Valenti, roll over in your grave that we're saying this, but it's a horrible system of self-censorship. But my point is, children should not see Hostel 2. And I
don't know that some adults could handle it.
I barely could.
No, you love horror movies, but you like the campy horror movies, I think is what it is.
Yeah, like Hellraiser.
Yeah. But if it's something that's realistically horror...
That's harder.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a difference between fantasy horror and realistic horror. I think if we see Gandalf eaten alive by dark elves...
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, it actually would be. But it wouldn't be nearly as horrific as a repressed suburbanite taking out his spousal aggression on a poor co-ed.
But at the same time, again, this is going to be very confusing if they change the movie rating system to account for all this. I think a lot of it's just going to have to rest for the parents, but we should stop because this is going to be a whole nother
debate. Needless to say, the rating system is flawed.
Yeah.
Hostel is perhaps the hardest R movie I've ever seen, though.
Really?
Which is worse, Hostel or Showgirls?
Well,
and Showgirls was NC-17.
And why was it NC-17 though? Was it just
too many tits?
So there's a certain amount of tits that you can show in a movie, or is it just because there was?
I would let my 12-year-old watch Showgirls. I would. I'd be kind of sad for him that he'd have to sit through that movie, but
it's a great stupid movie. Mm-hmm. It's not worth watching over and over.
And I'd let a 12-year-old watch Starship Troopers. When I was 12, I watched RoboCop, or when I was 13.
Nobody should let their kids watch Starship Troopers.
I love Starship Troopers. But Hostel, not for kids.
Oh, God, no.
Great for adults if you like
horror
movies.
I don't even know if it's for all adults because some people really may get squeamish.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed it. The beginning was a little bit boring. A little lesbian sex would have really perked it up. Were I the producer, I'd be like, we want more lesbians. But that's me.
Did you notice, though, there was a gratuitous booby shot?
Of course.
When
they're
going into the hostel and going to their room, and they saw the open door of three girls wooing a man.
Of course I saw that scene. Who am I? Do you think I missed that? I think men have a built-in nippledar.
Nippledar.
But we enjoyed the movie. I can honestly recommend it. The beginning is a little slow. It pays off. I mean, on a 4-star system, it's not a 4-star movie. It's probably about a 3.
No, I agree with you. It's a good movie. It's not near as good as the first.
No, the first one I'd definitely put at like 3.5.
But you could jump into this, I think.
Without... You don't have to see the first one to see this one at all.
But the first one's really good, so you may want to, especially for Orly.
Orly's funny.
Yeah.
The king of swing.
Yes.
All right, we will be back next time talking about a romantic comedy.
Yay. Probably the only girl who doesn't like romantic comedies.
Now Playing is a production of Venganza Media Incorporated. All rights reserved.